Now we turn back to Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 to 12. You got the newsletter. And open the newsletter to the inside page, please. When Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Here we are told that Jesus Christ is the great high priest, and he entered the most holy place of God once for all by his own blood. He did it once, all for his own blood, and in so doing had obtained eternal redemption for us. Well, in our evening service, we've been studying the major teachings of the Bible, and we've been using the Westminster Shorter Catechism to help us. And we are focusing on Christ and his three offices. Now, can I ask someone, be alert, you may be asked, what are the three offices of Christ? Clement, can you help us?
Prophet,
priest, and king. Yes, thank you. Now, this is not mere doctrines. If at the end of the day, you and I can only say, well, Christ is prophet, priest, and king, but we don't feel that Christ is our prophet, priest, and king, then all is in vain. My dear friends, I want all of us at the end of the day to really take Jesus as our prophet. And we say to Christ, O Lord Jesus, whatever you say, I will believe and I will do. You are God's prophet to me. Is that you? I hope so, I pray so. And then you will also say, Christ is my priest. Oh God, I come just as I am with all my failures, my sins, my folly, but Jesus has shed his blood for me. Jesus is my priest, my only priest. And then you will also say, Christ is my king. I'm going to follow my king no matter what. My friends may laugh at me. My family members may reject me. But Christ is my king. You know, friends, tonight as we meet so comfortably in this church, there are Christians in Iran, in Saudi Arabia, in Pakistan. They were Muslim before, now they became Christians, and they follow Jesus as king. You know what would happen to them, some of them? Their own family members may kill them. There are many ways to die, isn't it? But it must be a terrible way to die. By being murdered by your own brother. Some Christians suffer like that because Jesus is their king. Is Jesus your king? tonight and tomorrow, when you go to work, when you go to school. Now tonight we are focusing on how is Christ a priest? Can we read together the answer in the newsletter, please? As a priest, Christ offered up himself up once as a sacrifice for us to satisfy divine justice and to reconcile us to God, and he continually intercedes for us. How is Christ our priest? Christ is our priest in offering up himself as a sacrifice of sins for us, to satisfy God's justice so that he may reconcile us to God. And also Jesus continually pray for us. Now the last part, we'll leave it until next week, but we are going to focus in on the first part. You know, friends, we naturally want someone to act on our behalf in things to do with God, isn't it? If you know a godly man, a very spiritual woman, a man of prayer, a great spiritual teacher, won't you like him or her to pray for you? You like that, isn't it? I like that. We like them to pray for us. And some people even say, well, if that is the case, how about if we got Mary, the mother of the Lord, pray for us? Recently, Australia got its first Roman Catholic saint, Mary McKitlin. And many Australians are excited because now we got an Aussie saint. Well, the fact is we got many Aussie saints already. But what if Mary McKitlin pray for me? What if St. Peter pray for me? Now, I must say this. It is all right to ask living Christians to pray for you. But the Bible does not allow us to ask dead Christians to pray for us. All right? Make that distinction. If that person is living, is a living Christian, no matter how poor he may be, how weak her faith may be, you can ask that person to pray for you. But if that person is gone with the Lord, the Bible says we have no communication or contact with the dead. We should not try that. So we should not make up some Protestant saint. You don't say, well, let me ask Spurgeon to pray for me, or Calvin to pray for me, or John Knox to pray for me. No, 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 no. Get that right, I hope. Now, I want to consider three things together with you tonight, very quickly. First of all is that at the beginning of the Bible history, the fathers, the patriarchs, well, patriarch really means the great fathers. Fancy name for fathers, but they're the ancient fathers, the great fathers like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, at the beginning of the Bible, the fathers added as prophet, priest, and kings for their family. Abraham taught his children the word of God. He was the prophet. He told them, God told me this, and now hear God's word. And Abraham offered sacrifices for the family. Abraham prayed for the children, for the whole family. He was the priest. And Abraham was also the king. In those days, fathers acted as kings. Sorry, fathers, now we don't act like kings. We are not so honorable. But in those days, if you were a child or grandchild of Abraham, you don't say to him, "I don't like what you say." If father asks you to die, what do you do? Isaac said, "Where?" And Abraham said, "Here." Abraham was king also. So these patriarchs, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they offer sacrifices for their children, they pray for them, and they were acting as priests. Another patriarch, Job, who was not in that family line, but he was also acting as priest for the family. Job was a rich man, and the children got party often. And when they finished their parties, Job would send for them and call for them to be cleansed. And then early in the morning, Job would offer a burnt offering for each of his own children. He said, "Perhaps they have sinned in their parties." Our young people, you know that can happen so easily, isn't it? You go to a birthday party, quite innocently, but then you may say something silly. You may do something wrong. After the partying, Job prayed for the forgiveness of sins for his own children. Now, fathers and mothers, we are no longer priests for our children. We can no longer offer sacrifices for them, but let us pray for our children. Pray for them. No matter whether they are 3 years old or 30 years old, pray that they may come to faith in Jesus Christ. Pray that they may be born again of the Holy Spirit. Pray that they may become soldiers of Jesus Christ. Don't just ask for lesser blessings. Don't just pray for your children and asking God, "Bless my kids to have good health. Bless my kids to have good jobs. Bless my kids to have wonderful results in studies." But go to God and ask for the best of the very best. "I want my daughter saved. I want my son to become a man of God. I want my children, all of them, to love Jesus Christ." Parents, be praying parents. And children, go to tell your parents, "Mom, please pray for me." Blessed are those children who have praying parents. Now let us move on. After those the days of the patriarchs, the fathers, we have the nation of Israel. And then under Moses, God instituted a whole system of sacrificial worship. Now I want to ask you, does any one of you fear blood? Finney, you fear blood? You do. Jennifer? I know of a man who once lived a very rough life. Disobedient child. He's now a wonderful Christian. He feared blood so much. Now, if you're one of those people, you will faint under Old Testament worship. Because when you sin, when you go to worship, You carry a goat, a lamb, and then you bring it to the priest. The priest would slit the throat of the goat and pour blood. And God appointed through Moses to have his brother, Moses' brother, Aaron, to be the high priest, and to have Aaron's children to inherit the priesthood. They dressed in a very elaborate garment, long robe. They serve in the temple and in the tabernacle. They have many different festivals and sacrifices. And many blood were shed and spilled in the Old Testament time. Have a go when you got time to read the book of Leviticus. You may find the book of Leviticus difficult to read, but guess what? That was the first book for Jewish children to read and to study in those days. Because you have to get it right. You don't muck around in the worship of God. You don't bring a pig for the worship of God for sin offering. It's just like some of us, you go to a wedding banquet. You must know how to behave and don't act in a silly way. If you go to a Chinese wedding banquet, you don't act like Indian people. You don't use your hand to get your suckling pig or your crispy skin chicken. You use your chopstick in a nice way. Or if you are like me, who don't know how to use chopstick properly, you avoid a lot of food. So that's why Leviticus was the first book to be studied by Old Testament children. And in those days, they got a morning and evening sacrifices. You know, one of the reasons we got morning and evening services is because we're reflecting the Old Testament morning and evening sacrifices. It's not enough to have the morning sacrifice, the morning worship, but morning and evening. They have the sin offering, the burnt offering, the peace offering, and so on and so forth. Mr. Skander has done some of this with us. But underlying all the sacrifices is this idea. You want forgiveness of sins? Blood must be shed. The wages of sin is death. The person who sins must die. Or, if you can find a substitute, either you die or your Savior substitute die. If you don't have a Savior substitute, you must die. And also underlying the concept of sacrificial worship is the complete devotion of the worshiper of God. One of the offerings, the burnt offering, the whole animal is burnt up to God. What for? The worshiper is saying, that's me. David, not this David, but King David would be saying in the Old Testament days, the burnt offering is me. This is David burning up an entire body for God. Lord, my entire being is for you. Even all that is inside me is for you. The burnt offering. The burnt offering. Now that is the priesthood under Moses. But the people knew this is only an illustration. Now some of you children remember in kindergarten or year one and year two, you got show and tell. Remember those days, Vinay? Show and tell? Moana, show and tell? Oh dear, did you go to school? Oh, you didn't skip school. Show and tell when you go to kindergarten. My children got that on Monday morning. They have to bring something to do show and tell. Bring a little teddy bear. Bring a photograph. Show and tell. I actually went to Luna Park, but I did not become a lunatic. Show and tell. Now this really show and tell. Under the Old Testament, it's show and tell only, not the real thing. Show and tell time. But even in those days, the high priest could not enter the most holy place every day. In those days, if you went to the temple, there would be an outer court and then the holy place, and then the most inner room is the most holy place, representing the throne of God, the presence of God. But the high priest could only enter that place once every year, on the Day of Atonement. By the way, the Jewish people still have the Day of Atonement every year. They call it Yom Kippur. Yom means day in Hebrew. Yom. Kippur means covering, the Day of Covering. But now, of course, they don't have the most holy place. They don't have the sacrifice. It was to them, if they really keep the Day of Atonement, a day of mourning for sin, a day of repentance. And we can tell them in a gentle way, you know, my Jewish friend, listen, Benjamin, listen, Eliezer, you don't have the sacrifice, do you? No, we don't. You really have the sacrifice. It is Jesus, the Messiah. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, is the one day for the people of Israel to cover up their sins. The day to cover up their sins. Let me ask you, friends, honestly. When you recall your sins, the sins in your life, would you not like to cover them up? If tonight Stephen just say to us, well, listen, Gerard, I actually got a computer software. He actually scanned your heart. Not your physical heart, but your spiritual heart. And then we are going to put it up big screen about your life, your sins, what you have thought. Well, friends, I'm sure that Gerard will not come tonight. I don't think I would come as well. Because, friends, you know, there's just so much in our hearts, in our past, in our presence, that we don't want anyone to know. My dear children, there are things which you don't want your parents to know. But I want to say to you, there are many things which your parents don't want you to know as well about what happens to them. That's why we dress. That's why we have to cover up, and we long for something, for someone to really cover up all our sins, to give us peace of conscience. Because you know, we have sinned, and we try to cover up, we still won't have peace of conscience. Only when you have Jesus. Only when you and I have Jesus' blood cover over our hearts, then we can have peace of mind. Give you a thought. It may be a scary thought, but you know what happened at the judgment day? Is that all that we are shall be exposed, shall be made known. And you will say to me, Pastor, I never knew you were so weak. And I will say to you, but Christ has made me clean. That is what will happen at Judgment Day, when believers' whole lives will be exhibited to the glory of the grace of God. And the whole universe are going to sing praises to Christ and say, what a wonderful Savior you are. You have purchased us with your own blood from every tribe and tongue and people. Can you say that even now, my dear friends? Now very quickly to Christ as our great high priest. You know, friends, the show and tell time lasted for 1400 years. Now, if the children stay in kindergarten for more than 2 or 3 years, parents are going to be very concerned. If in university they still do show and tell, it is a shame, isn't it? It may be very amusing. I watch the little, shall I say, parliament in Hong Kong working. It's quite amusing because they often have show and tell time. The opposition will bring in a banana and try to throw at the government, or bring a duck, or bring a crab. Well, maybe Hong Kong people are very childish. They need to have show and tell time in parliament. But it is really silly. It's really silly that you need to have show and tell to bring the puppet and all these silly things to Parliament. But anyway, the show and tell time in Old Testament time lasted for 1400 years until Christ came. Not for show and tell, but for real. He is our great high priest. He is not of the family of Aaron, but of the family of David. He is both king and priest. And what happened is that we are told in our text in verse 12 here, he entered the most holy place by his own blood. This is for real. Christ died for sinners. Christ died for sinners. I heard of a grandfather who gave a kidney to his grandchild. Isn't that wonderful? Years ago, when my aunt was having an operation, and in those days, there was not much blood supply in Hong Kong. The family members line up to give blood to her. Isn't that something? But the Son of God gave his own blood for us. Does that not move you? So when Jesus asked to be your king, remember he has first offered his own blood and life to save you. He's not asking for too much. Not at all. But what for? Why did he offer his own blood? We are told in the catechism question, to satisfy divine justice. To satisfy God's justice. My dear friends, have you considered the seriousness of sin? Have you? Do you know how serious sin is? You may think that it's only a little lie, that it's only a little swear word, that it's only a little insult to my friend or enemies, that it's only a little unbelief, that it's only a little lustful look at a girl, at a woman. Oh, there is only a little gambling, a little piece of lottery. Oh, there is only lingering in the casino just to have a look. Oh, there is only a little hatred, a little sin, a little thing. But the cost, the blood of Christ to pay for that. It cost the blood of Christ to pay for that. Now you may go to one of these expensive places and your children may be naughty and knock down something very expensive. I noticed there's a set of knives, six knives, for $1,000 to be sold in a shop somewhere here. I won't tell you which one. $1,000 for a set of knives. But we only stainless steel. Well, they're expensive things. Well, it's only a little piece of whatever. But to pay that can be very expensive. Sin is a very serious thing. And Jesus our Lord said, if your right eye causes you to sin, what do? Cut it out. Your right hand causes you to sin, what do? Cut it off. Because sin is so serious. And have you considered the inflexible justice of God? People don't like to hear this word, justice. Especially the justice of God, and especially the inflexible justice of God. But God's justice is inflexible. God asked his son, are you going to pay for David's sin of adultery? Not this David, but King David. And Jesus said, yes. Are you going to pay for Simon Peter's denial of you three times? And Jesus said, yes. Are you going to pay for Abraham's lies? And Jesus said, yes. And my son, my justice demands that you should shed your blood. Are you willing? Yes, I am willing. What do you think of such a Savior? What do you think of such a Christ? And my dear friends, one more thing. Christ offered up himself once for all. Once for all. In verse 12 in our text. He entered the most holy place once for all. Once for all. He did it once. And I must bring this in so that you understand. You know, sometimes people ask us, what's the difference between the Roman Catholic Mass and our Lord's Supper? There's a big difference. Our Lord's Supper here is really a very humble thing. A remembrance of Christ. The Roman Catholic Mass says, they offer Jesus' blood and body afresh every time they have a Mass. Now, no wonder that in the Roman Catholic tradition, preaching is very much secondary to the Mass. Who cares whether you are preaching or not in church if in the Mass, in the Lord's Supper, you offer Jesus' blood and flesh afresh to God? That must be a mighty sacrifice if it is true. But what does the Bible say? Jesus offered himself once for all. That's why some of the English reformers, the Archbishop Thomas Cranmer, who wrote the prayer book, he was burnt to death because he couldn't believe that every time you have Lord's Supper, you offer Jesus afresh. He said, that is not the teaching of the Bible. And he was burned. He was burned for that. It was okay for him to believe in Jesus' resurrection, in Jesus' death. Yes. But because he couldn't believe that in the Lord's Supper, Jesus was offered afresh, he was burned. Well, I bring this in so that you have an understanding of what goes on. Now, that's by the way, but then by the way, sometimes it's important, isn't it? As I finish, let me ask you once more. My dear friends, do you feel your own personal need of Jesus to be your great high priest in offering his blood for you? You feel that need? You know something of your sins? And have you indeed trusted in Jesus? You know there's only one priest, that is Jesus Christ. Your parents cannot save you. Your wife cannot save you. You and I must go to Christ individually and lay hold on Jesus and his mighty sacrifice. Have you done so? You know if you have done so, you're going to do that again and again and again and again, isn't it? You don't say to yourself, I did that 20 years ago, or 2 years ago, or 2 days ago. Every day you go fresh to Christ and lay hold upon him and his blood. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, we scarcely know the depth of our sin and the height of your love. We pray that you may speak to us, each one of us, and unite us to Jesus Christ. May we feel the peace of conscience in the shed blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.